State Affairs Committee together here, and it's Thursday, March 18th, and we're looking at 9:32. We apologize, we're running all a little late, and there's some of us who will be crabby because we just had, we're over at the health fair. Here comes some more troops. So, I just want to ask you at this time to turn off any electronic devices you might have. With us today, we have Senator French, myself, Senator Menard, and on my left is Senator Passavant. And Sarah Munson is my ABLE committee aide. And we have Molly George over with the LIO, and as well as Nicole Carlson. So, ladies, are we good to go? Okay. Good morning. On our agenda today, we have Senate Bill 288, Disposition of Human Remains. Actually, we've canceled that. Sorry, I stand to be corrected. Senate Bill 259, we only have one thing on our agenda, and that's the Legislative Audit Division powers. We can now hear a Senate Bill 259. Michael Rivito is staff to myself. Senator Menard, please state your name for the record and then go ahead and give your testimony and your affiliation.
Sure. Thank you. For the record, my name is Michael Rivito, staff to Senator Menard, and I'm here today to introduce the CS for Senate Bill 259. Do you want to adopt?
Go ahead.
Okay.
There is a committee substitute for this bill. Do I hear a motion to adopt a committee substitute for Senate Bill 259 as revised R?
Yes.
For the purpose of work and discussion.
Yes, Madam Chair, I would move that for purposes of discussion, we bring the committee substitute for Senate Bill 259 / R version before the Senate State Affairs Committee.
Do I hear any objections? Hearing none, we will proceed with committee substitute for Senate Bill 259. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Continuing on, the CS for Senate Bill 259 will give the Legislative Audit Division an additional power, and it also changes one word up on the second page of the bill. The additional power that it will give to the Legislative Audit Division will be to perform a financial audit on non-governmental entities that receive funds from the state. This bill came about really at the urging of the legal department, particularly Assistant Revisor Jack Chenoweth has stated before that the department has in the past recommended that the legislature amend AS 24.20.271 to provide a statement of authority to audit non-governmental entities. At the same time, Teresa Bannister from Ledge drafting the original audit bill recommended that amending that statute I just mentioned to clearly state the Legislative Audit Division has the authority to audit private entities would be the wise thing to do at their urging. If this bill passes, Alaska will join 16 other states who have similar laws on the books. And while the practice of auditing non-governmental organizations isn't new, and this state has done so before, it's as I said, it's best to put it in the statute like Ledge Legal says to do. So that's one part of it. And the example that we give is, for instance, this bill would allow legislative audit, if so directed by the LBNA committee, to perform an audit of a nonprofit, for instance, that has received state money to make certain that the money is being used as intended when it was appropriated to this non-governmental entity. The other change in this CS that is on page 2 of the CS, line 2.
If I can interrupt you a second, and welcome to our committee here. Senator Meyer has joined us.
Thank you. Thanks.
Should I go on?
Yes, thank you.
Page 2 on line 2, we changed the word shall to may on subsection 4, and this came at the urging of the state auditor, who's here today to answer any specific questions that the committee might have for this bill. Because the state auditor, Pat Davison, said that while providing accounting advice to clients is a typical activity for auditors, there is professional auditing requirements that limit the amount of advice or assistance an audit organization can give to an agency. So if you go beyond those limitations, then the auditors no longer meet the professional independence standards, and their ability to conduct audits is compromised. So that's why that section at the urging of the state auditor, as opposed to saying shall cooperate, now says may cooperate. So it gives them some flexibility there. So the overall thrust of the bill is really to make sure that state money that is going to a non-governmental entity that has requested it for a specific purpose, that the money is being used for that purpose. And this will give, put in statute to say the authority is there for the Legislative Audit Division to do that, if so directed to by the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee. And that will conclude my testimony here, and I'll take questions. And like I said, Pat Davison is here to answer anything specific and technical.
Do I have questions from my colleagues? Okay, Senator French.
Sure. Mr. Rivito, thanks for bringing the bill forward. Question, any examples of misspent state money to nonprofits and so forth?
Through the chair, Senator French, I don't have any specific examples to give. No.
Just as a follow-up, Madam Chair, thank you. If you get a chance, I'd love to see the alleged legal opinions. I just noticed they're not in the backup. Hearing from Mr. Chenoweth and others about the need to modify the statute is certainly of interest to me. I'd love to take a look at those those papers.
Through the chair, Senator, I can definitely get those to you.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Senator Pasvan.
You know, my question is really along the lines of the nonprofits. Do they have requirements, either federally or otherwise, that they have to be audited already?
Through the chair, Senator Pasvan, could I yield to the state auditor to answer a question like that? I think she'd be better prepared to answer specifics.
Okay. And Pat Davison, could we please bring
I have a question maybe for Pat.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
And Senator Meyer.
Thank you. And you may have mentioned this, but just looking through the bill to see us, we use shall most of the time. Then on number 4, number 11, we use may.
Is that right? That was done through the chair, Senator Meyer. That was done at the urging of Pat Davison. And the reason that it was changed from shall to may is to maintain the professional independence standards that an auditing agency has to maintain, so they don't go beyond limitations giving advice to an agency, financial advice or accounting advice. So as opposed to requiring them to do that, it gave them flexibility to make the determination if that function would maintain the independence standards.
Okay, I can ask Ms. Davison about that also. And you may, I apologize for being late, I was at the health fair. But didn't we already do a bill similar to this?
I had the same question. Thank you, Senator Meyer.
Maybe this is deja vu, or maybe my copy hasn't kicked in yet. But
through the chair, Senator Meyer, we did last year.
Okay. So why are we doing this again?
Well, we were asked to bring this forward, and I think maybe we have Senator Fred Dyson in the audience, too, and he could speak to that when we get to the testimony part.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Pat Davidson from... Would you state your name, please, Pat?
Pat Davidson, representing the Division of Legislative Audit. Madam Chair, Senator Pasquan, you asked about existing audit requirements for nonprofits. Mm-hmm. Currently, the state regulations has something called the state single audit, which requires any entity that receives more than $500,000 from the state to have an audit. It's an audit of those monies, and what they're looking for is compliance with the grantee requirements. Part of this... So to answer that question, if you already get over $500,000, then there is an audit requirement there.
So what does this, if I may, what does this further that would be meaningful to the state? I guess what is the intent?
Through the chair, Senator Pasquan, I can't talk to you about the intent of the bill because it didn't generate from our office, so I can't really speak to that. I can share with you what this may allow the Budget and Audit Committee to approve. Typically, a legislator is going to request an audit be conducted. And to the maximum extent possible, we will try to conduct that audit. So if we have to use the audit requirements in a grant for, let's say, a nonprofit, then we'll use that as our access to conduct audits if audits haven't already been done. If it is money received by the school district, let's say for pupil transportation, that type of audit is done. It's not just an audit of the dollars, but it's an audit to determine whether the school district has complied with the statutes that govern public school transportation. And so we try to use the statutes as they exist right now to the maximum extent possible to achieve that audit request that is given to us by the Budget and Audit Committee. My understanding is what this language will do is, at least for the financial type of audits that we're requested to do, that this will be a little bit more solid ground for us to do those. However, if the committee asks for more of a performance-oriented audit request, then this language won't give us any more access than we might try to glean from other statutes. So this section 11 in this bill, only addresses financial-related audits and don't go to those more performance-driven requests that we sometimes get.
If
follow-up, Senator Passman.
Am I understanding this correctly, then, that from that if it's above a $500,000, that you have both financial and performance audit requirements in statute?
Through the chairman, Senator Passman, no. If it's over $500,000, the entity is required to get a financial audit. And that is part of their grant agreement when they sign on. And that's that entity receiving $5,000 from the state in total. Not each grant has to be over $500,000. So if you had an entity that received three grants, and each of them was $200,000, they pass that $500,000 threshold and therefore would be required to get that single audit. So the financial aspects are pretty much covered already in regulation. And those don't require legislative audit to conduct those audits. Those are audits conducted by a private CPA firm hired by the entity that receives the state dollars. So what does this language give us? This language only addresses financial-related audits, and what we would have access to is going in for entities that have less than $500,000. On a practical basis, we probably wouldn't re-audit anything. We would rely on the work of other auditors if those auditors have already been in there. And so this doesn't do anything at all about creating more of a base to do performance type of audits.
But it does create a financial audit.
Yes, Madam Chair. It does create solid ground for a financial.
Okay. Are there any other questions? Senator French?
Ms. Davidson, good morning. How long have you been the auditor?
Through the chair, Senator French, approximately 13 years.
And are you aware of any misspent state monies by entities that receive by private entities that now receive state money?
Through the chair, Senator French, yes.
And could you tell us what those are?
Typically, most of the time I see them in the newspaper. A grant was given to a nonprofit, and I'm thinking of one in Fairbanks, and the business owner, the executive director absconded with the money. That's typically what you're going to see in those sorts of cases. We have seen other grants where questionable things have occurred. We have had instances where we have assisted the state troopers when they're doing work that involves state money. They'll sometimes call us because of our expertise in auditing to help their white-collar crime. And so we've been involved in some of those instances.
Thank you.
Certainly.
Are there any other questions?
Madam Chair,
if I could answer
Senator Meyer's question.
Yes.
He asked about the two Mays that appear in the bill. The May in Section 4 is definitely at our request. I have not been put in a position yet where I am doing anything that I think violates professional standards, because I can talk my way out of it usually. It is nice to have that flexibility in law if that push ever came to a shove. As it relates to the May in Section 11, I didn't have an opportunity to talk to Ledge Legal about this. I'm not exactly sure what that May means. It says that the legislative audit may perform an audit of monies. I understand that the Budget and Audit Committee may approve an audit request, but typically once the Budget and Audit Committee approves an audit, we at Legislative Audit don't take those as options. We take those as directions. And so the use of the word may in there may be giving the Legislative Audit Division more flexibility in carrying out the direction of the Budget and Audit Committee than maybe you would really want it to have. So that would be one thing that you might want to take another look at.
Okay.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Not that we don't trust you, Ms. Davison. But yeah, that you're absolutely right. Usually you do perform the audits that the committee, you know, requests of you to do. That's why I was puzzled why almost all of them are shells, except that one. So that one surprised me. So do you anticipate that this would impact your workload if this passes?
Through the chair, Senator Meyer, I don't expect to. As I see this bill, it more expands the opportunities for legislators in the types of audits they request, as opposed to really expanding necessarily what we do on a mandatory basis. I don't know if there's a flood of audit requests out there that will come our way if this bill passes or not. I sort of doubt it because it's only relates to financial type of audits, and I can usually find my way through to do a financial audit. I don't know that there have been many barriers to that, and so we have a zero fiscal note associated with it, because just like any other audit request from the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee, they're taken in turn.
Senator French, did you have a follow-up?
I was just thinking, if this leads to more audits, then obviously I guess that's not more cost per se, because you just take them in turn. But what's happening, I think you're almost a year behind now in your audits. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Senator Meyer, yes. For legislative budget and audit requests, yes, we are about that. We prioritize our work by those jobs that are assigned in statute with deadlines, and we do those first. Requests that come through the Budget and Audit Committee are then taken in turn.
Okay, and if I can follow up.
Yes, follow up, Senator Meyer.
So if the legislature says, hey, a year is just too long to wait, we want to give you more staff, then this could lead to more expense, but I can understand why at this point in time you have a zero fiscal note.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks.
Certainly.
Senator French.
Just a question or two along those lines, if I may, Madam Chair, because I was thinking about that, and I was going to ask what excess capacity your department has right now, and I guess it would the answer would be no or none.
Through the chair, Senator French, that's correct. There's no excess capacity right now.
So if the LB&A committee decided that you needed to do financial audits of a half a dozen nonprofits that receive state money this year, either through the capital budget or through the operating budget, those wouldn't even begin for a year from now?
Through the chair, Senator French, it could take that. One of the required audits for us is the statewide single audit, and as that our money is rolling through and the discussion about increased accountability and transparency, and as you appropriate that money, I have to come along and audit that money, and the audit requirements associated with that money are a little bit more burdensome than typical federal money. And so probably for the next 2 to 3 years, as that money is moving through the state system, that one particular audit is going to take significantly more time.
Let me just take this opportunity to thank you so much for the work you do for the state, because I know it's got to be a daunting job, but I just I'm concerned about the impact on your agency should this bill pass. I wonder, I wonder out loud whether there should be some limit on the amount of money that we're going to command you to audit. Some, especially in the capital budget, we'll see very small grants to small nonprofits for you know, little things that we, you know, sort of come to us through our community councils or so forth.
Madam.
And I just wonder whether we shouldn't put some limit on the potential number of tasks we would assign to you.
Through the chair, Senator French, my experience with the Budget and Audit Committee in their approving process, there have been, I know of at least one audit where the grant was, it seemed to me the grant was under $50,000, and I was asked by the committee before undertaking that audit to identify the total amount of money that that entity got, and if it didn't exceed a certain threshold, then they were not approving the audit. And so it's the Budget and Audit Committee that really acts as the gatekeeper.
And they're responsible in the exercise of their authority is what you're saying.
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense. Thank you.
And, of course, you know, it goes without saying we did not intend to hinder what you could do, but to just help, and certainly we're concerned that money's being spent right in the correct way when we give it to nonprofits. So, Senator Pasvans.
And I don't understand exactly all the process that goes on here, but you use the term, I believe, that the grant agreement requires a financial related audit under most grants, and that if that happens, in other words, there's a private firm that would then audit, and then if you were asked to come in, you would rely upon that that private firm's financial audit.
Through the chair, Senator Pasvan, that's true. If I was to speculate on a potential scenario, a legislator could request that a grantee of some sort seemed to be spending too much money on travel. They were going hither and yon, and this legislator believed that they were not accomplishing the goals of their grant. And so they wanted us to go in and make sure that all the travel costs were necessary. As a private CPA firm just doing the state single audit, they're going to be looking at were there proper invoices to support expenditures, and are they categorized properly? They probably wouldn't, and I know they wouldn't really detail analyze the amount spent on travel as it relates to the grant overall. It wouldn't be an area of focus for them. What we could do upon a request approved by the Budget and Audit Committee is actually go in there. We would rely on the extent of the other auditors to know that their general ledger works and, you know, their accounting system is reliable to extract information from. We can rely on that work, but then we would go on and take a look and look at the travel and make sure that it was consistent with the grant requirements, that it was not excessive, nobody's flying first class, that sort of thing. I mean, any individual type of transaction can be looked at. Not only is it supported by invoices, but you can also look at it in terms of, is it really necessary to support the objective of the grant? So that would be a case where we wouldn't be duplicating the work of the other auditors. We would rely on that to get our base understanding, but then we could go off and do what we were specifically requested to do.
Okay, Senator Passavant, a follow-up.
I guess that's where I'm getting confused as to what's the financial related as compared to performance audit. And it sounds like what you're talking about is...
still financial.
It sounds like it's more than financial, and maybe it's my loose use
chair.
Of the term audit or the...
Through the chair, Senator Passgrant, probably the best way for me to explain the difference between a financial related audit and a more of a performance audit. The financial related audit is going to look to make, like as I said, look to make sure that the travel was supported by invoices. But if the legislator that requested the audit was concerned that the grant wasn't meeting its objectives, again, I'm just going to put out a scenario here. They were concerned that too much was being spent on travel, and the number of participants that they expected to be served were not being served because there wasn't enough money. Then we would go in, and this would be a performance type of audit that isn't covered here. We would be looking at records not only about travel. We would be also looking at participant records to see how many participated in the program, what were the outcomes for the participants. They would take us more into that area of, did that grant actually achieve its goal? That would be a more performance-related audit, which is not covered in this section.
Okay. So I guess then...
And it's not covered because you already have that ability for performance space.
Madam Chair, no. It just would not be covered.
Okay. Okay, Senator Passavant.
Well, I guess kind of following up on that from a little different perspective, if I understand that the committee can at this time request that type of an audit. In other words, you were talking about a $50,000, that there was a request made for a $50,000 grant to go in and do that type of work. Mm-hmm. So if it's already an inherent power, what is this needed for if the power is already there to deal with a specific inquiry on a specific grant that's as low as $50,000? What do we need this for?
Through the chair, Senator Passgrant, my understanding from the earlier testimony, the reason they wanted to put this in the statute was to make it very clear. As I said, we try to use all opportunities to carry out an audit that we can. And the financial related type of audit work is indeed a little easier to access because of existing grant agreements, existing statutes, and so on. But this does put it black and white in the power and duties of legislative audit.
It's just
Senator
one.
Passavant.
Again, getting back to whether there's a substantive problem, if you are directed or your audit division is directed by Senator Meyer to go in and investigate someone, has anyone said no? that they didn't let you in the door? I mean, that seems,
Madam Chairman,
somewhat incredible to me. So if they've always said yes and you've always done the work that was requested, where's the substantive problem?
Madam Chairman, Senator Pascvan, for financial-related audits requested to the Budget and Audit Committee, while some don't welcome us, we have pretty much been able to get in there. However, the places or the occurrences when we haven't been able to complete an audit has been a performance audit and not a financial audit. Those are the ones, and no, this law doesn't do anything to address that.
So.
Okay. Well, it's excellent discussion. Do you have any more questions?
No, Madam Chair, other than I think we need an explanation on why number 11 is a may and not a shall, because I think she does work for the LBNA Audit Committee, and so hopefully if we ask her to do an audit, she shall. But there may be a good reason for it. So.
Okay, and we can certainly look at that and maybe hold that. Thank you, Pat, for your wonderful, knowledgeable testimony.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else? Senator Dyson, would you like to come forward and state your name, please? Affiliation.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And with me is my Chief of Staff, Chuck Kopp.
Okay, thank you. Right. Welcome to the committee.
I have here, by the way, the legal services documents that Senator French was asking, and if you want to, I can give them to Sarah, and she can make copies for you all.
Yeah, thank you.
I am perhaps Pat's biggest fan, and every argument I ever had with her, I lost. But to the point, I believe that we have a fiduciary responsibility as legislators to make sure that the public funds that we authorize through the budget process are spent for the purposes for which they're intended. Pat and I have had ongoing arguments here, and Pat has, in my opinion, refused to go and audit anything that is not a state employee or a state agency. And so, as I understand it, Health and Human Services, for instance, has somewhere around 6,000 to 7,000 payees that receive funds. Many of them are minor and so on. But Pat has said, no, I can't do that. I do not have the explicit authority. My reading of the statute is exactly as Senator Pascvan says, is it looks like it is. You do have the authority. You know, and we have the legal opinions that you'll get here that Sarah's copying will tell you that Ledge Legal in two opinions it says you should probably clear this up and make it clear. And that's my understanding of what your chair is wanting to accomplish here, is to make sure it's here. When Senator Murkowski got here and became governor, he was stunned at how little audit authority the state had to be good stewards of the money that's flowing through here. And I have anecdotes as well here, but they're old. But we are such a small state, and particularly in this town, which is kind of a government town, the relations get pretty cozy. So people over the years have come to me and said, do you know person X that administers all these grants? You know, girlfriend and son-in-law are recipients of these grants, and so on and so forth. Maybe the only really valid or best contractor around and stuff, but they're worthy of being looked at. In my view, we have a fiduciary responsibility to look at those as needed. I've had a lot of dealings with LBNA, and they have been darn responsible. You know, and I think that we don't have to worry too much about them misusing this power based on their historical perspective. So in my view, and I don't want to be a demagogue here, but for us not to be clear that we have the authority to look after the people's money is irresponsible. And back to Senator French's question, didn't we have a similar bill? And yeah, we did. But in fact, it being a committee bill, it adds a great deal more weight. And your caucus, I think, is perhaps rightly exhibiting some triage with the melange of bills that are going through. And I think it's my hope, and I think your chairman's hope, that a committee bill will have a better chance of getting through the process and being successful here, getting to what I consider I don't know the right words, but not have the clearly have the authority to look after the people's funds seems to me to be irresponsible.
Okay, and did you want to add anything to that? Or I know you've done a lot of work. Okay, are there any questions of Senator Dyson? Senator Meyer.
Well, Madam Chair, maybe Senator Dyson knows why on number 11 we made that a may instead of a shall. No idea.
I believe Senator Meyer, through the chair, that was done last year as a result of committee discussion. I don't have firsthand knowledge of I think that went back and forth a few times, is my understanding.
Given the authority that LBNA has, I, like Pat, can't imagine that they won't do it as they're directed.
Okay. Through the chair, there's no doubt in my mind that they will do as directed. It's just that we've made all the others a shall, but we purposely left out a may. So it just...
I think number four is also, isn't it?
It's a may, yeah.
Four is.
And that's because of the professional ethics, right, which I greatly respect.
Right. But all the rest of them are shells. So I...
Yep.
And we can make that correction.
Okay.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that wants to speak? Anyone online? I'm not seeing anyone online. Again, this bill is sponsored by the committee. It's a committee bill, and I'm going to go ahead and close public testimony since there's no one else to testify. Do my fellow committee members have any questions or comments?
Madam Chair, I'd like to have Ms. Davison come back up if that's
yes,
okay.
Yes, thank you. We invite you up to the table, Pat. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Would you state your name again, please, for the record?
Pat Davidson, representing the Division of Legislative Audit.
Okay. Ms. Davidson, do you recall when we heard this bill the last time, did we change that from a shall to a may, that number 11?
Through the chair, Senator Meyer, I do remember that the language in Section 11 was changed. I don't have the original version of that bill. I think the original version
also
had I think the original version may have had a may, but it was more expansive, wasn't limited to financial audits, and so when it got reworked, I'm not sure.
For performance, yes.
Madam Chair,
I have a copy of the original, and it did have May.
Okay. And I don't want to get hung up on May versus shall. I think it does read better as a shall, don't you, Ms. Davidson?
Through the chair, Senator Meyer, I think a shall there would clearly indicate that the legislative audit division shall carry out the wishes of the LBNA committee, which would be consistent with all the other sections in that piece of legislation.
Okay. Madam Chair, I'd like to make that.
Okay.
I'd like to make that conceptual amendment when the time comes. Then, Madam
okay.
Chair.
Okay, and we'll ask you for that. Thank you. Okay, thank you. So go ahead, Senator Passman.
You know, not in the way of Ms. Davison, thank you, but just, you know, I'm wondering, is this a solution applied where there's no problem? In other words, if the LBNA committee has the ability to do this now, mm-hmm. you know, what are we accomplishing?
Well, we're accomplishing a thorough discussion now on the bill, that's the purpose of the second.
My real concern is that, you know, what we've heard from Ms. Davidson is that she's never been not able to perform the financial audit that is addressed here, and that every time the request has been made, it has been accomplished. And so we have a solution trying to where there's no problem.
But this, in my view, gives it more meat that it's, but do you want to go ahead and speak?
Well, through the chair to Senator Passman, I think what the legal services department kind of had in mind about making it a statement of authority and statute would almost be maybe looking toward the future, preventing against any future issues with it. Maybe somebody wants to, you know, fight the audit or something along those lines, and then it would be in statute, as this is explicitly a power of the Legislative Audit Division, explicitly laid out in law.
So I think I'm going to just go ahead and move on. And what is the will of the committee?
Well, Madam Chair, I'd like to move a conceptual amendment number one.
Okay.
And that would be on page 2, line 24, number 11, just change the may to a shall.
Okay. Is there any objection to that?
No.
No? Okay. Then do I hear a motion to move committee substitute for Senate Bill 259 version R with the substitute of the word shall instead of may from committee with individual recommendations?
Well, to be consistent, Madam Chair, I think I moved it last time, so okay. I will move it again. Madam Chair, I move that we move CS for Senate Bill 259 as amended with individual recommendations and the attached zero fiscal note.
Version R, and do I hear any objections? Hearing none, then Senate Bill or committee substitute for Senate Bill 259 version R moves out of state affairs on to finance. We are adjourned.